the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
And now, of course, I welcome on, as I do every single Friday, Rossi3Stacks to join me for the teasers, the best bets, hashtag buy the boat. Ross, we buying the boat this weekend or what?
We sure are, Josh. Do you know what season it is?
Boating season?
Well, maybe.
Ooh.
It's in some parts of the country.
What you got?
It's week three, Josh, so that means we're getting into transitive property season.
Hey, Ross. Ross, spin zone, it's also week four.
Oh, yeah. Week four, even better.
Does the theory still hold up?
It still holds up. Okay. It sure is week four.
Yeah.
Well, so many teams, specifically the two teams that I follow the most closely, have only played two games. So I sure did forget that it is week four.
UNC, almost even UNC week five. Virginia Tech. Okay. I was thinking UMass for a second. Is it bad that my mind went to UMass before your own alma mater?
It sure is, Josh.
That's okay. Or Buffalo, for that matter. I know you're a big Buffalo fan these days.
I most certainly am. Yeah.
I don't want to give away anything later on the podcast, but
No. I don't know if we're going to get too much into Buffalo today. I've got some other good ones. I do think this is going to be a good week. I'm most excited, in addition to it being transitive property season.
Yeah, it is.
It's also finally getting into eye test season for me. In the sense that I will actually be able to watch some college football on Saturday for basically the first time all year. It's a little... behind the curtains there. I've hardly watched any games this whole season.
I'll be honest. I've gotten a lot of unreturned texts on Saturdays for the last few weeks.
I know, I've been a bad friend.
Yeah.
I just have nothing to add because I'm like not watching the game. So yeah, you'll send some stuff like, come on, OK State or booty meat. I'm like, dude, what happened?
I get like 6 hours later, you're like, I haven't been watching. Like, OK, cool. Now I feel like an asshole. So anyway.
I know. I'm sorry. So most of my college football research and such is just done in like reading scores and stuff, which is not how I like to operate. But buddy, this weekend I'm gonna be watching some games.
There we go. So this our research has been done. Clearly, you're getting it from the best. I mean, there's no question about it. You've got
for sure.
You've got somebody who doesn't watch the games, and then you've got me. I have been ice cold, so to speak, for the last few weeks. I've been ice cold. Last week was bad, but I'm still almost 500 for the season. Okay. It could be worse. It could be better.
Totally.
But let's just say that this was a minor setback for a major comeback. We're gonna have
a big
week.
All it tells me is that you're due.
Exactly.
We're due.
All right. So we're due for the boat. Let's go to the teasers. Who you got this week? Start with number one.
First things first. NC State -6. We're gonna tease them to +1 at Marshall. Ryan Finley is gonna light Marshall up like a damn Christmas tree. So this is starting to get into sort of the transitive property, I guess. But so when I was doing research for the next game I'll give you, I came across Miami of Ohio and started looking at their season. Their last two games, they've scored a combined 3 points against Cincinnati and Minnesota. Oof. In their first game, they put up 28 against Marshall.
Okay. Yep.
So this team who cannot score against other teams, average teams, put up 28 against Marshall. NC State, who can score, in my mind, against pretty much anyone, is going to put up at least 40. I don't think Marshall has the horses to keep up. I think State covers this spread at 6, so I definitely love tossing him into a teaser, and I'm also going to bet on them -6.
So Marshall on the season, third in the Conference USA in yards per attempt on defense, which I love to use yards per attempt as a stat.
Yeah, sure.
But the teams they've played... Let's see, who has Marshall played? You mentioned Miami, Ohio. They've also played Eastern Kentucky. They won 32-16. Of course, their game last week was canceled against South Carolina. So they played two games. So you're getting a rested Marshall team, Ross. Are we sure? Mm-hmm. Are we sure? I don't even, is Doc Holliday still the coach at Marshall? Are we sure?
I don't know.
Are we sure we trust Doc Holliday to lay an egg on two weeks rest? I don't know. I'm a little nervous about this one, but I mean, NC State's not going to lose. You're betting, essentially, you're giving NC State
correct
to win.
That's exactly.
They're not losing.
Fair point if you want to not bet the -6 like I'm going to. I am going to. I think they win this game by at least a touchdown, but love tossing them in +1.
Do you think NC State is a worthy challenger to Clemson in a few weeks? Because I thought so at the beginning of the season, and I'm starting to doubt myself.
I do not. So, I mean, we talked about this again on the preview pod and separately. I'm not as bullish on NC State, despite the fact that I'm betting on them this week. I just think their running game is not where it needs to be. I think Finley's great. I think the receivers are great. I think they're going to be able to score points. But against a team like Clemson, where they're going to have the athletes to maybe not neutralize the receivers, but at least contain them, you're going to have to establish the run. And I don't think this team can do that. And then defensively, I think they, I mean, you saw with JMU,
right?
Ben DiNucci was moving the ball against them as much as he wanted to. I mean, JMU, that game was, well, it ended up being really close, but they kicked two field goals from like inside the 5 yard line and then just had a fluke fumble as well, where DiNucci just like lost the ball as he was running into the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, they for sure, that's 15 points that they just left on the board right there.
Yeah, no, so, they had a
anyway,
chance.
Point being, I'm concerned moving forward, but for tomorrow, tomorrow, depending on when this comes out, for Saturday, I really like State to cover that spread.
Yeah, I think they win as well. All right, so that's one down. What else you got?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mentioned Cincinnati, who I had come across in the Miami of Ohio.
Heard of them.
Game. So Cincinnati is -8. We're going to tease them down to -1 at home against Ohio.
Oh, so this is revenge.
This 100%.
This is revenge against Ohio. Damn you, Ohio. We bet the house. I bought the boat on Ohio last week, and the boat sank.
I know. Well, so you're exactly right. This is revenge. This is payback. This is just getting our redemption, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, Ohio lost to UVA by 2 touchdowns on a neutral field in front of 5,000 people in Nashville. Now they have to go into Cincinnati. Against a Cincy team that's way better than I thought they were going to be, 3-0. So looking at the Sagarin ratings, I'm going to get back into my actual stats here for a second. Cincy's about 11 points better. Factor in a couple points for home field, and this line, in my mind, should be like 12 or 13. So right off the bat, you're getting 4 or 5 points value on this line, and then tease it a whole touchdown down to -1. This game has a lot of things that I like. So -1 against Ohio. I do think Cincinnati will beat Ohio straight up. Really like that line at -1.
How do you think Tony Pike's going to do?
Tony Pike. Well, I think with Travis Kelce running wild down the middle of the field, it's going to be tough for the Bobcats to have an answer for that.
Yeah, Isaiah Pete is really set to break out in this one. So I'm pulling some. Marty Gilliard could have a big game for Cincinnati. If you're looking for an edge, I'm just saying.
Was Munchie Legault Cincinnati?
He was. Cincinnati low-key might have. If we did an all-name team for every school, Cincinnati might be the greatest team of all time.
Yeah. Well, Gunnar Keel was there too, right?
Gunnar Keel was there as well. Yeah. Gunnar Keel was at like 8 different colleges, but I think Cincinnati probably – I think he ended at Cincinnati.
I could have said that about any school. I think he played for Ohio for a little bit too. Yeah, Gunnar Keel, though, all-time quarterback name. Munchie Legault, just all-time name.
We were talking on the podcast yesterday with Kyle about most Texas name, like the best Texas quarterback name, and whether it was Major Applewhite or Colt McCoy.
Yeah,
and Gunnar Keel would have been a great Texas quarterback. It's a shame. I think he might have played for Texas. I don't know. I mean, I think he played for everybody. So maybe he played for Texas. He probably played for Texas Tech.
He might have.
He might have played for Texas Southern.
Right. He absolutely might have. Yeah, there's a ton. That is for sure a great Texas name. It's like Brady Quinn being the perfect Notre Dame quarterback name.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of good. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Cincy -1 against Ohio is number 2 in the teaser.
All right, what's number 3?
All right, Oklahoma State is -14 at home against Texas Tech. We will tease them down to -7. So Oklahoma State. They get to walk yesterday. They looked really good from what I saw. They beat what I think is a good Boise State team by 23. Like, really took it to them.
Yeah,
and now they face Texas Tech, who's given up 49 to Houston and 47 to Ole Miss already this year. I legitimately think OK State might be good. I don't know that they're a national title contender, but they look legit to me. And so I love them covering this threat. And I think they're going to be able to score basically as much as they want. And I think their defense is much better than Oklahoma State teams of the past. So I love that. I think that 14-point line is spot on. I probably would have put it more like 17. So teasing it down to 7 is great for me.
Yeah, I think, look, Texas Tech, their defense is maybe better than it's been in years past, although Ole Miss shredded it. I think Oklahoma State's going to do the same thing. The over has hit in five of the last six games between these two. Mm-hmm. Now, the total is at 77.
So that was the first place I looked, was for the over. And that's a big number to
I think
tease
under.
In any direction. You think the under?
I would tease the under 84. I think getting Oklahoma State down to seven is fine. Look, when you get a game where it's going to be so high scoring, there's a lot of lot of possessions, a lot of chance for a game to get away late. Whereas in a lower scoring, lower possession game, 7 points is more feasible for the underdog to cover, especially back door. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. I would definitely tease the under to 84. I don't think either one of these teams get there. Oklahoma State's offense is good, but I think their defense is better than people give them credit for. And Texas Tech is not as awful on that side as they have been in the past. So I think people look at that line, look at that matchup and think it's going to be fireworks. It still could be high scoring, but I don't know that they're going to get to 84. That means both teams have to probably hit 35 plus. I don't know that Texas Tech gets there. Oklahoma State might, but I don't think Texas Tech does.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
I'm with you.
Maybe
it
a little.
Could be like 38-21.
Right. It's like maybe a little teaser. Maybe we just stick with that game. Tease the under in Oklahoma State.
Ooh.
I might do it. I don't know.
Okay.
Two birds, one stone.
Your money, man.
That's true.
I love it.
Okay. So that's your three best ones. What else you got?
Yeah. All right. So a couple more for you. One, the Friday night special, if you want to get in on the action a little early. Washington State +4 to +11 at USC. So again, going back to Sagarin and S&P Plus, actually, Washington State's actually about 3 points better on each on a neutral field. Hmm. So even giving USC a few points, the line in my mind should be about a pick 'em, maybe a point or something for USC if you want to give them more than 3 points. So getting that at +4 to start and then teasing it to +11. It should be a toss-up. It's just good value.
Yeah, I mean, it's a revenge game for USC. Remember, they got upset by Washington State last year in Pullman. I'm interested. That's interesting that the line is – or not the line, but I guess the numbers that you see says that Washington State is better. I mean, USC has been awful this season, objectively speaking. I mean, they struggled in the season opener, and then, of course, they lose to Texas. They don't even score a touchdown against Stanford.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like this is a buy-low chance on USC. Just looking at it from that standpoint, teams are usually not as bad as they were the week before or as good. USC's lost two straight. People may be jumping off the USC bandwagon. Still a ton of talent. Washington State, of course, replacing a lot of guys from the last couple years. I'm going to stay away from it. But if you're going to tease them to +11 though, I mean you're asking a USC you're asking a USC offense that struggled to beat a team by two touchdowns, and a team in Washington State that can no matter who's on the field is going to score.
Right.
Maybe I'm talking myself into it.
So yeah, again, as I've said on this show every week, I really like teasing the number as much as I like teasing the team. And so getting that to 11 feels like very good value. I probably will not do it because, as I've also said, I don't like having teasers that span two days, and I don't feel strongly about the other Friday games. So I'm going to stay away from it just for that reason. But for other people, it's just one to look into.
I will say this. Teasing games across days does give you some hedging opportunities. And
true.
But only doing one on Friday is a little different. But like last week, NFL, I had a couple teasers in the 4:30, and then I had the last leg of it was Sunday night. I had the Giants +10 in a teaser. And I ended up taking Dallas -3 to hedge, and I middled it. And
that's
got
true.
Dallas win by 7. So I had a chance right there where I knew I was going to win some money. So hedging teasers is kind of nice because you can usually find a pretty fat middle if you get there. Just a little tip for you little Joes out there from a pro like me.
Buddy, if I wanted a good fat middle, I just would have stayed with my first wife.
There he is. All right. Well, how many more you got?
As many as you want, man. I can go all day.
Okay, let's say two.
Two it is. Well, if I have to pick just two, we'll go back to old faithful Iowa. +3, we're going to tease them to +10 at home versus Wisconsin. So, Wisconsin obviously not as bad as they looked last week, in my mind at least. But everybody's probably jumping off of the Wisconsin. Half of bettors are jumping off of Wisconsin, and half are probably looking at it as a good buy-low opportunity, right? The way I look at it is Iowa-Wisconsin is going to be a very low-scoring game.
Yep.
No matter what. This is another one where the numbers, believe it or not, I mean, Sagarin, for whatever reason, loves Iowa. They've been, like, top 10, top 15, like, all year. Love Iowa. And so they're virtually identical on that metric. So factoring in home field, you could even argue they should be favored by a point or two. So starting off plus three, getting them up to plus 10 in a game that I don't think either team wins by more than a touchdown, I feel pretty good about that. This is just my classic Iowa bet. Anytime I can get Iowa to plus 10, I love it.
Yeah. Low scoring, run the ball. Not bad. I went on TV yesterday and picked Wisconsin to win 28-14. I feel like Wisconsin's going to come out and make a statement.
See, that's more than 10.
I'm aware, which is why I'm a little nervous. But Iowa's only given up 24 points in three games. Now, their opponents, Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa, and then in the middle, that was Iowa State. But they held Iowa State to three, and the Cyclones just scored 27 on Oklahoma. Oklahoma doesn't have a great defense. But point being, Iowa's still holding a decent offense to – no touchdowns. They've got the horses on defense to at least keep Wisconsin from blowing them away.
Sure.
The over-under in that game is, what, 44 right now? 43.5? 43.5. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking about plus 10. The implied score in this game is 24 to 21 right now-ish. I mean, in that range.
Yep.
So you're talking low scoring. You get a 10-point gap in there between the two on that teaser. It's not the worst one. I tend to think Wisconsin's going to bounce back. And I'm not buying into Iowa yet, but the theory of getting 10 points with Iowa at home, especially, and it's a night game, 8:30. The Iowa at night, Kinnick Stadium, almost always cover. I remember this going back to when they played Michigan and Ohio State in the last couple of years. They almost always do this. They cover at home, or if not win outright. They usually win outright against big time teams. This would have been a good one to get it if Wisconsin had lost to BYU.
If
Wisconsin had beat BYU,
I was thinking the same thing.
This would have been a very popular upset pick. So you get a team that would have been a popular upset pick plus 10. You might be talking me out of Wisconsin a little bit.
It's the anti Oklahoma State Texas Tech game. Where that game is going to be up and down, run and gun, like points are going to be flying around. Well, at least they usually do in that game.
Right.
This is just 10 points is just a lot harder to come by in Iowa versus Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You might have convinced me there. Maybe I teased both sides of it. Who knows? So why don't we go to your last one?
All right. Last one. I think this will be the most controversial.
Oh, boy.
Florida State.
ODU. Oh, okay.
minus 10 at home against Northern Illinois. So I think maybe this is the week that they finally realize, oh, yeah, we are significantly more talented than the people lining up across from us. Let's just out-athlete them.
Right.
Let's just go be better than them. So getting them down to -3 is another one of those situations where, barring some sort of, like, 28-27 game, you're just betting on them to win the game, most likely. I gotta think that FSU bounces back.
Yeah.
I'm willing to roll the dice one more time. I unfortunately thought it was going to be last week. I thought that Syracuse defense was going to be a good chance for the offense to get going. I loaded up on DeAndre Francois and his receivers on DraftKings. That lineup did not do well.
The worst lineup of all time.
Thanks to my Army Hawaii stack.
Attaboy.
But anyway, point being, I think they have to.
It's got to happen.
They're so talented
at some point
that they have to look at least average at some point.
Yeah.
Right. So why not this week at home against a team that they're significantly more talented by? I think they'll find a way to win by at least a touchdown. Maybe. I mean, there's always the case that it really clicks for them and they win this game by 20 or 30. Right. They've got that kind of talent. So I think that's more likely than them actually losing. I think the reality is they'll win by like 10 to 14 and getting them down to -3 is spot on.
I guess you could say we're just asking Florida State to do something.
Yeah, just don't suck.
Just hashtag do something.
Don't even bring the coaches to the game. Just line up out there and just say, here, Cam Akers, just run the ball that way.
You guys block
those people in front of you.
You know that's their official hashtag, right?
What?
You seriously? Florida State's like actual hashtag that their football account has been tweeting since May is hashtag do something. That's their motto.
No, Yes. I didn't know that.
Boy, you really have been out of it. I told you, man. That's like their slogan for the season was hashtag do something, which
that's amazing.
Was bad to begin with, and it's just the most appropriate hashtag ever.
Yeah. No, you can't have that as a hashtag.
Do anything.
You're gonna be that inept. That's funny. No, dude, I've totally missed that.
Yeah, no. Willie Taggart's hashtag, Florida State, is literally it's do something, which they have. you could not set the bar any lower, and they haven't been able to even live up to that.
Hashtag do something. That is so funny.
Yeah, so like hey, man, I said, you might.
There's nothing to do but something.
Well, and they've failed to do even that. So, look, Florida State, live up to the hashtag for once. Do something this weekend. Beat Northern Illinois. Prove us right. I've lost too much money on them this season for this to keep going. So
it's like, you know, I got to keep going back to it, though. I feel like if I just bet on them every week, I'll be right eventually.
Yeah, that's the way to get rich.
No, I do like them in the teaser this week. I actually have not bet on them all this year except for loading them up on DraftKings. But beyond that, I think I do like them -3. So do you want me to quickly run through the picks or we got it?
Give me a recap.
Yep. All right. Cincy -8 to -1 against Ohio. NC State -6, the +1 at Marshall. Oklahoma State -14 to -7 against Texas Tech. Iowa +3 to +10 versus Wisconsin. And then FSU -10 to -3 against Northern Illinois. Oh, and if you want to do Friday night, Washington State +4 to +11 at USC.
There we go. Go Cougars, go Hawkeyes, go Noles, go everybody else. All the teams that I already forgot. Go everyone. All right.
Go Munchie Lego. Munchie Lego.
Munchie Lego. Let's Munchie Lego by the boat this weekend. Rossi, thanks for joining me, buddy. We'll do it again next week. And
Thank you, Josh.
Everyone.
Can't wait to watch some college football this weekend. I will reply to all of your text messages within an hour.
It's about time. On those old party boots.